Welcome to our second Geovation Scotland special edition of the Registers of Scotland podcast, following an amazing journey of three entrepreneurs who joined our last Geovation Scotland cohort. I'm Jess Sibley, and I'm delighted to be talking to founders Olivia Dovner, Nick Lade, and Doug McNeil. Geovation Scotland is an accelerator program that provides bespoke support to early stage startups working in the location and or property technology sector. Our bespoke accelerator program runs for 12 months, 6 months of which is intense incubation, followed by 6 months of hands-off to market support. We give our founders a range of support from financial modeling to GDPR to pitching and presenting. They will have access to data for explorative purposes and up to £15,000 in equity-free grant funding. We are now halfway through the accelerator programme for our third Geovation Scotland cohort, and we are very excited to get the opportunity today to talk to all three founders about their experience so far, talk about their ambitions for the future, and what success looks like for them. All the founders on this current programme are working extremely hard to develop and grow their startup businesses during a global pandemic. Thanks so much for joining me today, everyone. I think a good place to start is probably by introducing my guests. Let's go around the table and introduce each of you. Olivia, you go first.
Thanks, Jess. So my name is Olivia. I am the CEO and founder of the Student Bubble, which is basically a platform where students can come on and search and apply for suitable accommodation in the rental sector. We're focusing on Scotland with that. But aside from that, I'm a PhD student. I study chemistry. So it's kind of, very different caps that I need to wear at different times. But I found that research really helps with kind of business research as well. And that's me. So, thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. Nick, you're up next.
Hi, my name's Nick. I'm CEO of Property Price Hub, and we model property prices to get them better than anything on the market already. And my background is in consulting and startup. So as a CEO, you end up doing everything, but I should say I'm a data scientist as well. So all inclusive.
Thanks, Nick. And Doug, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Doug McNeil, the Managing Director at Eolus Insight, and we are a company focused on providing technological solutions into the environmental and ecological sectors. My background's predominantly in systems engineering, actually, but I've been working for the last kind of 8-9 years in the vibrant Scottish space sector, more on the upstream side, which is design of kind of space-based hardware, and now looking at downstream applications for space-based data through Eolus.
Brilliant. Thanks, Doug. So my first question, all three of you are focusing on Scottish markets, and I'd love to chat a little bit more about why you all chose Scotland as a place to start your business. Olivia, do you want to take that one first?
Yeah, definitely. So I did my kind of undergraduate degree at St Andrews in Scotland. So for me, it was kind of the right choice at the right time. I was just finishing my undergrad in 2020 as the pandemic kind of hit. And I just thought, well, I have most of the knowledge about the Scottish market and connections in the market. So it felt right there. And as my business is kind of student targeted, it felt right as well as an undergrad, having that knowledge in Scotland. I also feel that Scotland support innovation very well compared to other regions. So combining both of those, as well as kind of, I guess the student market in Scotland is capped also to a number that we could test our product in. And for us, we're wanting to kind of come to the market and do things very well and very proper, because we're trying to build trust in the market. And to do that, it's worth walking without running first. And Scotland kind of appeared as a nice test case, as well as kind of having those connections compared to the rest of the kind of UK market, Europe, or across the seas. So it just kind of felt right. And I think it's kind of the same for the other founders, but I'll let them talk about that.
Thanks, Olivia. Have you got anything else to add to that, Nick, about why Scotland?
Well, I live in Scotland, in Edinburgh, only a stone's throw from where Geovation is based in Registers of Scotland, first and foremost. But also, like, through the process, I've come to appreciate how valuable the Scottish data is. So this is a bit technical in my field, in that the English and Welsh data is there, but it's very open, and it's not as high quality as the more reserved Scottish data. So there's greater value to be unlocked in the Scottish data once gaining access to it. And furthermore, from that, you know, being in Scotland, I'm able to interact with people directly, indirectly, and also, as similar to what Olivia was saying, you have something or a test case that you can build out with what is both a kind of large and a small population in the Scottish populace of property. So that's why.
Thanks, Nick. And anything else from you, Doug?
Yeah, so in terms of touching on Olivia's point earlier about support to innovation within Scotland, I think that's kind of critical for me. In terms of funding streams, as an example, you've got access to actually more funding streams than you would being based elsewhere within the UK. So not only have you got access to things like Innovate UK funding or European Space Agency funding, but also Scottish Enterprise support is provided. So I actually know of companies who have moved within the space sector, have moved from like the traditional hub in the southeast of England, have actually moved to Scotland to access all these different mechanisms. So I think that in terms of the business environment, things are pretty favourable here. Obviously, we are orientated towards the environmental sector as well. And yeah, I'm actually from the Highlands of Scotland originally. And a lot of the inspiration behind the business itself came from growing up in the Highlands and the kind of interaction that you have with that landscape. So not only from a technical and application point of view, is Scotland useful for us in terms of the ecology and environment, but also from, like I said, the business environment as well.
Thanks very much. It's really interesting to hear what you're all saying about the innovation support in Scotland. And I guess that leads me really nicely onto my next question. You are all lucky enough to secure a place on the Geovation Scotland Accelerator in November last year. And now, I guess we're nearly 4 months in, I'm really interested to hear so far. What's been your highlights, Olivia?
Yeah, I'd say it's hard to say a specific one, really. I think the program really brings all the things together that you need, especially for me at different times, because I did quite a lot of ideation before the program, and now it's the best thing really is that all of the efforts that I made kind of in 2018-19 onwards in terms of that research base are now kind of cementing themselves. And we're actually growing the product, not just the idea. So I think like having the support around you when you're making kind of the next steps into kind of uncharted territory sometimes is really helpful, just to have that kind of guidance. I mean, I've got a co-founder now, Liam, who is with me on the journey, and I found him external to the program, but we've had such guidance with the program as well as kind of me as a leader and bringing that kind of CEO aspect to now a growing team. It's just been very helpful in that respect as well, to bounce ideas and then go test them with my own team. That getting customers, getting traction, obtaining testers for our product and getting close to partnerships, you know, with leading Scottish institutions. Like, it's all very exciting. And I think the point that I would make is that entrepreneurship is such a journey that, like, even if you start kind of doing something early stage, you definitely need the support around you. And that's why it's so great to also have the other two on the program with me. I feel we're all very similar, but also very different. And we give each other that support when needed as well. So the program itself, really good. The founders, even better, I would say.
Thanks very much, Olivia. Nick, what's been your highlight or highlights so far?
I think it was Olivia's comments just then saying about how much she valued us.
You will.
Well, for me, it comes down to every time you gain validation. So a big point of validation for me was initially being invited onto the program. And then the second biggest point of validation whilst I've been on the program was getting the first paying client into the business. So these are the two major highlights for me.
Fab. Thanks. And what about you, Doug?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, yeah, following on from what Olivia said, I think the highlight for me was actually meeting up with everyone. We had an accelerator mashup event, and obviously I haven't met anyone for a long time through COVID, and just the fact that we were able to meet up and kind of discuss things in detail, and yeah, I guess I'm gonna use the same point as Olivia, but probably not as well. So yeah, just the interaction that we had, not only with the team, with the other founders, but potentially also with others within Registers of Scotland and Ordnance Survey. So that as a networking event was hugely valuable, and something that's quite memorable for me.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Like, just to jump back in, the people that you meet along the journey, I mean, you start off with one idea and you're trying to validate that idea. But it happened with us, like even at that networking event that Doug's just described, there were people from Tourism Scotland, you know, who we hadn't quite seen the overlap with potentially in the future. And it's seeing then where you can go with kind of your own strategy, but also how other people are then going to help and affect your journey. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to search for something and you need something that's going to work. And if you haven't come across something yourself, then that's the influence of other people, and the Register of Scotland Ordnance Survey, the programme, does a great job with that.
Thanks, everyone. It's really great to hear all your highlights so far, and hopefully there'll be plenty more to come. I'd like to maybe flip that question on its head now and talk a little bit more about the challenges. What do you think are your biggest barriers to building a successful business? Olivia, go to you first.
I think it's quite hard because every business is very different, and challenges come when you kind of expect them or don't expect them. And for me, I've kind of had one at a time, which is quite nice and definitely preferable. You know, you don't want them all at once. But because businesses are so different, I think each founder has their own internal kind of barriers as well as external. But I'd say the way that I've been trying to go about getting around that is really understanding the market that you're approaching, taking time to kind of validate your progression at each stage, and minimize those barriers. So as a chemist coming into like a real estate software business, you know, you can kind of see all of the gaps in your knowledge, and it can be quite overwhelming sometimes, but I'm quite an optimistic person really. So keeping that optimism and the motivation, and again, having people around you that help you with that, I think is invaluable. But starting to delve deeper into a topic and really then kind of change your perspective on your potential barriers in your skill set. And one way to kind of get around that I've used is to gain backing in the right places to verify what you're doing at certain points. And so far it's been quite yeah, beneficial doing that. So even though I didn't start off with knowledge of the market, I don't code myself, but I found, you know, a very competent co-founder now who is helping me bring this product to market. It's about kind of taking those challenges that you face and getting people to help you with those and validate what you are doing at each stage, so you don't then fall back into, am I actually doing the right thing? But now all of our efforts are kind of making the product as easy to use and as simple and purposeful as possible. So I'm sure that we'll get some more challenges along the way, but anything is accomplishable with the right team.
Thanks so much for sharing your insights, Olivia. It was really interesting to hear. Nick, would you have anything else to add around the biggest barriers that you're facing at the moment?
Yeah, just sort of following on from what Olivia's saying, it's very much when you're a founder and it's either yourself or just a few others, it can be very much a personal journey as much as a business journey. And for me, time is the biggest barrier, really. I think I've got a skill set in most of the domains, like in business and obviously my technical skill set as well. I certainly have things that are missing and things that can be better that I'm hoping to lean on other people to achieve. But in terms of time, you know, you realize quite quickly that you can't multiply yourself as well. And my personal challenge, so I've been working also as a consultant in a full-time capacity, although I've been able to use my holiday to satisfy the geovation obligations and business obligations. As well as, and then on top of that, I also have a young son as well. So a lot of I do enjoy all of them, but still you can't make time out of thin air. So this is the biggest barrier at the moment, but I'm reaching a conclusion where, excuse my voice, I can drop the consultancy, pull back from the consultancy to leave me with more time to really push with the other parts of my life, including the business. So this is part of the journey that I've been on to be able to support my son, but also to push forward business-wise.
Thanks, Nick. It is really interesting to hear about how being a founder, you have to wear so many hats all the time, and it's not just about starting a business. There's so much more that comes with it, and so much more requirements, as well as being a dad and doing all those other things. It's really, really good to hear, and thanks for sharing that. Doug, how about you? Anything else to add?
Yeah, this is probably going to make me sound really mercenary now that I think about it and after those answers. But yeah, I think the biggest challenge for me is funding and just the cash to keep the business going. So I've already got a business which didn't quite take off under my belt. And the main problem there was just not having funding in place and making assumptions over funding that potentially weren't the case, in terms of being able to source that through friends and family or from other sources. So yeah, this time around, I've really focused on the funding element and making sure that that's all in place and kind of building from there. Yeah, just touch it back on how the Geovation Accelerator helps with that. Obviously, there's funding available there, but what that funding gives you, I think, is space. And I think that maybe that harks back to the other points. It gives you a little bit of breathing room to maybe think about things in a bit more detail, to be able to engage with the market more widely, to be able to come up with some sort of prototype. Yeah, because essentially, even though I'm saying money, what I actually mean is fuel, essentially fuel for your business. And Geovation provides a bit of that along with support to help you best utilize that.
Yeah, I think like for me as well, on that funding point, when you're starting the journey and you want to make a product, a lot of businesses now require tech. That's kind of where we're going. And it's inevitable that if you're founding a business, you will need a website or at least something behind you. And the company that I'm founding is, you know, it is a web portal. And me not having the skills and capability to build something like that, it took me a very long time to come around to, well, how do I get to the next stage? I would say that was my first significant challenge. And without Liam, who is now my software co-founder, I would be paying someone lots and lots and lots. So it would require a lot of funding up front. And it depends on the kind of business that you're wanting to create, if it's product based or science kind of based as well. And like Doug said, you need quite a lot of funding up front. And it's kind of the way to think about how to get there or get around that. And for me, I needed to then bring someone on board to kind of not have that huge gap in either my pocket or the necessity of trying to go out and get funding, because some kind of areas a lot easier, I would say, to kind of approach that funding path. But like a marketplace, a portal, for me, I found it quite difficult actually to get over that first hurdle. But having that buffer again from Geovation, it just gives you a bit more time. Again, what Nick was saying, like time is something that we really, really appreciate, because a lot of us like don't have a lot of time anymore. And if we do, we want to be relaxing and, you know, progressing ourselves as well as our careers and business, whatever. But having people who can help you on that journey, as well as the funding, gives you a bit of time to relax and say, well, actually, we can afford to spend this much on this because we have it. And then it kind of guides your business strategy and ideas a lot easier. That's what I've found.
Yeah, and I think that your approach, Olivia, as well, is really interesting. So, yeah, maybe funding was the wrong way of putting it. But, yeah, you need access to resource. And the way that you've managed that is by using equity to bring that resource in, whereas I maybe took the approach of looking for external funding. So, yeah, I guess there's lots of different options and everyone's going to approach that differently. And, yeah, I guess having this kind of ecosystem of support around you allows you to better make those decisions. Potentially, if I'd thought about it, there might have been other avenues way back at the start of when I started Eolus that might have been more effective than the route that I took.
Yeah, I think like it's kind of just being in the know. I mean, you know, I wasn't aware as an undergrad of a lot of the kind of startup ecosystem, and it's taken me a couple of years to get my head into that. And maybe that's something that the education space could change a little bit. But it's kind of, you need to have tried something to find something. And it's again, in like anything you do, I think just having that experience, knowing where to look. And for me, again, bring it back to Geovation, like a lot of the ideas that I had, we're trying to make possible now. And even connections through the program, you know, have really increased kind of the pace at which we are going. And for me, it was always like, well, where does the business go and at what time and how? And again, Liam has helped like so much. I can't even describe with that. But having like Jess and you know, a lot of the credit from the team at Geovation, it just helps you test your ideas and your thoughts and guide you, as well as giving you that kind of buffer with the funding. Yeah. But you have different options. Like Doug said, it's kind of equity based or not. And it depends on you and what your feelings are, and the kind of necessity in the company as to what you choose. But Scotland, again, to go back to the previous question, gives you a lot of avenues to explore all of these different options to what you want in your actual business.
Thanks so much, guys. You absolutely preempted my next question. It's really interesting because what you've both shared there is, you know, real life experiences and how, you know, new founders might approach this in a different way. And hearing your reflections is really important. And I think it's important for other founders to hear that. So thanks so much for sharing. I'm really keen to talk about the application process for Geovation, because as you guys are fully aware, we are now out and open for applications for our next cohort. And I'm really keen to hear from you guys, if you were to give some advice to a budding entrepreneur like yourselves, who was going to put in an application, what would it be? And Nick, I think I'll go to you for this one.
Sure. My first piece of advice would be to apply, however you're feeling about it. Because like you have to throw it with many things, and this happens multiple times as an entrepreneur. You have to be in it to win it. That's the basic condition. I'll describe my experience coming into the application procedure, if it helps. So I'd only started playing. So the data is public, and I'd only started playing around with it in the August before the September, end of August, I think, deadline for application. And yeah, so I was working with this data, trying to find value out of it. And then I noticed a link through one of the government websites saying, oh, there's a Geovation startup. Initially, it pointed me to the one based in London. And then from the website, F6S, as it may be, I found out about the Geovation Scotland. So I, you know, it wasn't too painful a process. I know it can feel painful with these forms, but there's kind of a balance. And I'm, you know, if trying to take them seriously enough that you do them well, but not seriously enough that you will become all consumed by it. And because, you know, all things go well, you create a good form, get an interview, get onto the program as we did. But even if you don't, you're in the process. And I remember during the interview, the first thing Lindsay, the head of the program, said was, you know, once you've reached this stage, whether you're on the program or not, we want to see how we can support you. And there's like Geovation was initially built up not around these accelerators. It was built up from these competitions and from this community and access to the data. So there's really a lot that can be gained, like even it, however far you progress in the process. But given that I'm guessing you're listening to this, you're considering applying, like even if you then start to feel a bit like, oh, maybe it's not for me, I would just say, try and make as good an application as you can and apply and then see what happens. That's what I'd say first and foremost.
Thanks so much, Nick. Do you have anything to add, Doug?
Yeah, I'm not the most original of characters. I'm actually going to steal something from what Nick just said, but I think it kind of goes to my main point, or the point that I'd most like to convey, which is Nick said about finding value in the data, which I think is a really interesting way of putting that. And I think that that's really important. So as a technically orientated person, obviously I want to create solutions which, yeah, are great technically. And I think that it's a very common mistake to make early in your life cycle, that you focus on the solution as opposed to what the problem is. By Nick saying, yeah, look for the value in the data, I think that that's the critical part. What is the value in what you're trying to do, and who is that valuable to? I think that once you answer those two questions, then that's when you can start thinking about what your solution might look like. So yeah, essentially making sure that you're presenting someone with enough value that they would part with money, because I think that that's basically one of the biggest challenges is actually making a sale. So yeah, I would say that kind of summarizes things well.
Thanks, Doug. Olivia, anything else from you?
Yeah, I guess, well, we met a very long time ago, didn't we, Jess? Because I first applied when I'd had a bright idea and I thought, well, I'm going to give this a shot. You know, you have to take a chance, because without asking, you never know. And I did back in 2019, was it? And like, my application was rubbish then. It was kind of, I've got this idea, I want to do this with it. And I thought, I'll give it an application and I might get it. And I didn't. And when I then started working on the project, it kind of took a bit more shape, you know, it had a bit more substance to it, even six, seven, 8 months after we first met. And yeah, I applied to a few other accelerators, which really helped that kind of research journey, the product market fit. Again, it gave it more substance. And then when I actually got reintroduced to the program through an old school friend, actually, and she kind of flagged it back up to me, because I'd forgotten about the program, because it was a kind of, you know, throw the application and, oh, it didn't work, never mind. But I still kept on that journey, and it came back around, and then I reapplied last year, and it was all worth it in the end. And I think, like, in the interview when kind of we were being assessed for like coming onto the program, it was quite obvious then how much we had done, how much research that I had done like personally, how Liam coming onto the business had kind of shaped it again and give it even more substance. And I think that was one thing that kind of stuck out in my brain, is that you have to give things a shot, even if it's not right. Like, you know, you might have kind of the shell of an idea, but you test it as soon as you can, because if someone picks it up, and even though I didn't get onto the program the first time, I did get onto other programs, and I did actually get traction from kind of customers, letting agents. They were very interested in this back in 2019, with just an idea and a prototype that I made on my iPad. But because of that, it was kind of something that I stuck with. And then I met you again, a couple of years later, and look where we are now. So I'd say, if you're ready for a commitment, then go for the opportunity. Always be prepared, but be ready to kind of dive in and make the most of it, because that's exactly what I did and what the other two have done with this program.
Thanks, Olivia. You're right, it has been quite a journey. Just want to pick up and reiterate something that, you know, you've all touched upon there, and I think it's really important to call out, is Geovation Scotland are not looking for a perfect polished business, and you guys can all echo that, you know, and we're looking to support development. We're not looking for businesses, you know, that are coming with a really refined proposition. And we're also not looking for businesses that, you know, are a solution in search of a problem. Like Doug said, they're having the value and the problem is really, really important. And that's something that we're really keen to find too. I guess we'll move on now to the next question. I'm wanting to talk to you a bit more about your focus for the next 12 months. So what are we now, February? I'm really keen to hear what are your ambitions and focuses for each of your businesses for the next 12 months. Doug, we'll go to you first.
Still reeling from the fact that you said it's not a perfectly polished business, Jess, but I'll have a crack. So over the next little while, we will be looking to obviously develop the portal, which is the solution that we presented into the Geovation program. So I'm really looking forward to that. At this point in time, we've done a lot of work on the business case, but not the prototype itself. So yeah, I think that working through that technical solution, we essentially, to describe the business, we have products elsewhere that we want to pull into this portal. So we have things which are currently tools which we feel could be used within a portal. So yeah, just the fact that we can start prototyping that and start to see what it looks like and start to focus on how a user is going to interact with that, I think that's really valuable for me. And that's probably the most exciting thing for me, because as an engineer, this process of creation is the thing that kind of really motivates me. So yeah, I think that's going to be a key focus.
Thanks very much. Over to you, Nick.
So for me, my business has become broadly split into a stable side and a low risk and a high risk side. The low risk being more service based and the high risk product based. And so for me, it's about, in terms of the low risk element, I want to establish this, basically to establish the business as being profitable, which knock on wood, it's already becoming. And if I continue as I'm going on that domain, there will be enough service-based income coming through the business to make it profitable. So having that stable sort of launch pad to then look at the high-risk element and work with the high-risk element, which is product-based, so getting something, at least a prototype out, perhaps something into the marketplace in some way so that users can interact with it and feedback can be worked that way, or to work with collaborations to move forward on that domain. But having this, so going back, so having this, the stable sort of launch pad established of the business, but then the high risk being the rocket that can take off. So those are my goals for the next 12 months.
Brilliant, thanks very much. And over to you, Olivia.
Yeah, I think it's much the same really. Like, now we've got some kind of product, but like Doug was saying, we need to test. And for me, we have never tested before. So this is now going into kind of the first kind of iteration cycles, getting it completely ready. We've done a lot of, like I said before, research and have understood kind of what people are wanting. But it's now like making that as simple and as clean as possible, because our core values are, you know, trusted and simple. So we need to make sure that that is seen in the product when people are using it. So that should then, over the next couple of months, allow us to land this product correctly. And I've seen a lot of companies, a lot of businesses try and land products in the student market. And it's quite hit and miss as to if it works or not. So we're trying very hard at the moment to build up a base to make sure that everything is functioning properly, there for purpose. Nothing is kind of, you know, unnecessary or on the site, and making sure that everyone is singing from the same hymn sheet, the partners that we have, to make sure we land it properly. So it's been very fast over the past year. You know, I've spent a year and a half kind of making the product, you know, a viable product that people want. And we now have a functioning portal. We need to test it with the people that have already come on board, which is really great to see. And it's now trying to put that into test, into practice, and see the concept and the business grow over kind of the three major areas that we're looking at. The first being Glasgow and surrounding areas, then Edinburgh and Lothian, and into Fife after that, I think. So really focusing on Scotland, but landing the product really correctly and making sure we have the right partners to do that and to grow. So building that connection base across Scotland. So it's really exciting, really. There's a lot happening. And with you know, each of these companies not having many kind of people, well, each person is there for a specific purpose, and you have to kind of work together to make your time and your efforts really, really land and purposeful. So I'm excited to see where it takes us next, and potentially in a couple of years, where next after Scotland.
Thank you so much. Lots of refining, lots of user testing, lots of customer stuff. Sounds really, really exciting. In terms of the innovation we talked about earlier in Scotland and what's available, I'm really keen to get your guys' perspective on what the main role of an accelerator program is and its role to support new businesses. Olivia, I'll go straight back to you on that one.
Yeah, I guess I've got the most kind of experience with accelerators. So yeah, I'll take this one first. I mean, there's many different types. And for me, I managed to get on the Adventure Program, which came out of Edinburgh University, and they were super helpful. It's a student-led pan-European accelerator. That means you get, if you don't have a business idea, you get opportunity to join a person who has a business. So I was the opposite to that. I had an idea and was looking for people to join me on that journey. So again, I was, you know, with idea, with product, with prototype, with interest, but not with with coding ability, sadly. So I then got a team of amazing people who then kind of had their own things going on career-wise and personal-wise. So each one did actually drop out. So then the accelerator, in terms of adding the team, then didn't work. But the kind of refinement that we did on the accelerator really helped me then make sure I was looking for the right person. So each one, even though they're there to give you something different, it kind of puts in motion the kind of ideation, the research stage, and kind of gives you this opportunity to put something in the ground and establish your company or establish your business, you know, whatever you want to do in whichever area. And you can get more kind of targeted accelerators. So this one is you know, Geovation is property, location data, geospatial data. And for us on the program, this is very targeted to kind of the expertise that we were looking for. So if your business is in kind of biotech, other techs, it could be anything really. There are people with the correct skill set to be able to help you. It's just a matter of finding the accelerator program, whether it's broad or niche, but there are many out there. So there's a progression to it in circulation. And I got told when you first hop on an accelerator, you tend to be on two or three to make sure that you're continuing that acceleration journey. And that's exactly what it does. You know, you could be innovating at the start of the kind of process, testing different things, getting people, raising money if that's your aim. And these accelerators really help you stay on a track. And I think that was the most helpful for me in whatever stage that I was at, even now. Really getting to the parts where actually I need help with this, or actually I've never done this. Can someone work with me to establish this and make something great out of it? And it's the aim that we're all trying to get to, is establish and make a, you know, self-sustaining company. We have paying customers, and accelerators are really there to help you achieve that and achieve those goals that you want, whether that's personal or with business. You know, as part of the Geovation program, we've had access to kind of personal mentorship, business coaching, and they are very separate. I think, you know, you as a founder versus you and your business. And it's something I've come across with my research as a PhD student. You know, you have to keep kind of your business a little bit separate from yourself, you know, to be able to reflect on what is going right and what is going wrong. And actually Adventure helped me with that tons without maybe even knowing it. But they did a workshop about kind of your personality type and growing your team with different personality types in there. And it's just stuff that you've never thought of that then you pick, you know, a sentence or five minutes out of a presentation, and you retain it with you, and it helps you either fail fast and move on, or actually move on to something that will work, testing your ideas, your assumptions, and it's a contained space so that you can do that. I think they're great.
Thanks so much, Olivia. It's really good to hear about your experiences with accelerators. And I guess I'll go to you, Nick, next, as being on your first accelerator. Have you got any insights you can share?
So for me, like I mentioned it before, the initial stage of having validation in what you're doing. And then, of course, with Geovation Scotland, you get a little bit of money as well that can then give you, so it validates you, but then it also gives you the opportunity with the money and the support to explore this more than you would have otherwise been able to, I would say. But at its core, I think accelerators are very good at linking the dots. Like, you might have a great idea, you might have excellent skills yourself, but you're often fairly isolated, however hard you try to reach out. But if you're on an accelerator program, then it's linking you to people, to knowledge that you wouldn't necessarily know. And sometimes that can be like, you might, like, so we've had some training programs, and it might be that it's been 2 hours in length and there's been one key takeaway. But that is one key takeaway that can support you very, you know, change your thinking, move you in a new direction. Other times you go on a two-hour program and there is 2 hours worth of key takeaways. So that's another one, trying to get your head around that. But I would say broadly it's about linking the dots where possible. And of course, Geovation Scotland has so many dots, both in business, but more specifically in property and geotech, and linking the dots with the people. People are always very important in business, no matter what business you're in. So yeah, that's the key point I want to keep reiterating.
That's brilliant, Nick. Thank you very much. And finally, to you, Doug, any other views to share?
To be honest, I think it's mostly covered in the last two answers, but I think, like, the one word that I would pull out of that I find most useful is being challenged. So just to give an example, even this morning, I've had a call with a mentor assigned through the Geovation scheme who's maybe challenged my thinking around who the best beachhead market for this type of product are. And, like, am I targeting the right people? Which is a fairly fundamental question. But yeah, just the fact that you're being challenged on these fundamental assumptions that you make and just having access to differing viewpoints is, I think, the most valuable part. But that ties back into the fact that it's engaging with people. It's working with others to work through your solution. It's having access to subject matter experts in particular areas and obviously the training that goes with it. So, yeah, to summarise, it's being challenged on the assumptions that you make in your business.
Thanks, Doug. So now we've come to the final question I've got for you guys, and it's a bit of a bigger picture thing really, but what I'm really keen to hear about, and it might be a bit of a hard one to answer sometimes, but when you look back in 5 years' time on your achievements, what is success? So where do you want to be in 5 years' time? What, you know, on reflection, what does that look like? I'll go to you, Olivia.
I think that's a super, super, super hard question. Yeah, I think having the company land and to be growing organically is something that I'm wanting the most. If that can happen this year, then we can grow and we can see where else we can kind of help different markets, maybe across the UK or wider. I think also regarding the company, I know that there's kind of changes that are happening with the rental sector in Scotland, and to be a part of that, I think would be success for me, to be kind of a main representative for the student market, and make sure that we are putting in our views and working with the government if that is appropriate, to be implemented in the right way in Scotland and establish ourselves as, like, the trusted platform where people can go to in the student rental market. Depending kind of on the growth of that, we'll kind of see over the next couple of years. But yeah, I'd say it would look something like that. Personally, I think, you know, finishing the PhD would be nice, not to have to juggle every single day would be nice, and that would be success for me. But I think 5 years in terms of a startup, anything could happen. You know, it's been, what, 1 year, 2 years. It's even been like a couple of months from the start of the program, and things have changed massively. Not to say that it couldn't come crashing down, as startups could. But yeah, I think it's 5 years is a huge amount of time where things can change. But there's certain milestones that I'm definitely aiming for, personal and with the business. But yeah, you'll have to check back in, I suppose, in a couple of years' time and see where those milestones are.
We'll get that one scheduled in. Thanks very much, Olivia. And same question goes to you, Nick.
So yeah, similar to what Olivia was saying, 5 years is a long time, but nevertheless, to put it on, as I said earlier, my business is forming into a more, let's say, low risk and high risk component. So there are two sort of main routes to go from there, either to establish the low risk element and have this ticking along, have a business which contributes well with society and otherwise, and is stable in itself, so it's positively contributing on all levels. The high risk element, pushing that harder, and creating a product which is used and is promoted well, and it may be profitable, it may not, but there's enough of an interest in it that let's say bigger players see that there's something here and they want to buy it out. So a successful exit is another ambition that can potentially be achieved in the 5 years' time. So there's these two sort of different and parallel visions of success, but both can contribute a lot. It's all about really creating something somehow that is positively contributing and appreciated in society, I think. So
thanks, Nick. And finally, over to you, Doug.
Yeah, I think I'm just kind of sitting here looking out the window at Storm Eunice and wondering whether success might be sitting on a beach somewhere else in 5 years' time. But no, I think for me the main thing will be, I kind of touched on it earlier, it's about creativity for me. I really want to just create something which makes some sort of positive change. And Nick, you focused on that in your last point there. I think having created something which makes a positive impact. Obviously we're working within the environmental and ecological sector, so the hope is that could be to make some sort of positive impact to our environment is really the goal for me. I just kind of want to look back at it and kind of see that I made a difference through that. I think that's the main driver for me in terms of the business as a whole.
Thanks for sharing that, Doug. Totally agree, being on a beach would be nice. What a great conversation. Thank you so much, guys. It's great to hear why specifically Scotland has been a perfect place for you all to start a business and how the innovation environment is supporting you. It's also great personally to hear how our accelerator program is helping you along your individual journeys as well. And it's really inspiring to hear your stories and your aspirations for the future. As I mentioned during the podcast, Geovation Scotland are currently open for applications to join our fourth cohort. If you or someone you know might be interested in applying, please take a look at our website, geovation.uk/Scotland. Applications close on Monday, the 21st of March. Please subscribe to our podcast at anchor.fm/registers of Scotland. Available to listen to on all major streaming platforms. And also remember that you can follow the Geovation Scotland story over on our social media platforms. Thank you for listening.